a couple of important news stories to share with you. First of all, in case you just joined us, Republican Michelle Steele defeated first-term Democratic Congressman Harley Ruda. That in an Orange County district that had flipped from Republican control for decades to Democratic with Harley Ruda's election 2 years ago. Now the chairman of the Orange County Board of Supervisors, Michelle Steele, retaking the 48th district as Republican. That's district that for many years Dana Rohrabacher had represented in California. Also, dozens of Russian peacekeepers destined for Nagorno-Karabakh began deploying today, that hours after Armenia and Azerbaijan agreed to halt fighting over the separatist region. This amid signs that the ceasefire might hold where others hadn't. The truce came after significant advances by Azerbaijani forces that the Armenian-backed leader of Nagorno-Karabakh said made it impossible for his side to carry on. This was celebrated in Azerbaijan, but left Armenians bitter, and many Armenians stormed government buildings overnight, demanding that parliament invalidate the agreement. As you know from our coverage on NPR and on AirTalk, the two countries have been locked in a conflict over Nagorno-Karabakh for decades, and there were concerns the hostilities could escalate and draw in Turkey, which threw its weight behind Azerbaijan, and Russia, which has a security pact with Armenia. And we'll, of course, keep you updated on the developments today in Armenia, in the disputed region, and in Azerbaijan on NPR's All Things Considered at 1 o'clock this afternoon with Austin Cross. Well, some conservatives have been highly critical of Facebook and Twitter removing or flagging certain postings or tweets made by some conservatives. And there are alternative social media platforms that have proved appealing to some conservatives. One of them, Parler, which just over the past few days trended with significant numbers of downloads of the social media app. With us to talk about Parler, Gab, and other alternative social media platforms is Shira Frankel, who's a reporter for The New York Times, who's been following this. Shira, thank you very much for being with us. First of all, provide a little context, if you will, to what has been driving some conservatives' moves away from Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms.
Sure, and thank you so much for having me. Well, we've seen this migration go on for, I'd say, about a year or two now, and it started with allegations of conservative bias. There was this feeling among people on the right that the major social media platforms, that being Facebook and Twitter, were biased against them and that they were being censored and that their posts were not being amplified for some reason. And despite there not being any concrete evidence against the so-called conservative bias, it circulated in that community, and there started to be this migration to these new social media platforms whose entire selling point was that they would not censor or even really moderate and monitor the content on the platform. And it was a sort of anything goes approach. You could live on this platform, you could say whatever you wanted, and you wouldn't live in fear or repercussion of that post being taken down.
All right. And so in the past few days, we've saw these downloads. Explain what that indicates. That indicate people are actually using it, or what's driving those numbers?
I think all we know right now is that people who are in President Trump's inner circle and very close to him and with large followings on social media are telling their followers to download these platforms. And I think that's really a direct reflection of what's happening. People are downloading them. But I've had an account on many of those social media platforms for years now to monitor and trace what's happening there. And I don't see a significant amount of activity. I don't see, people posting on those platforms in necessarily larger numbers, there being more active communities. What I am noticing is that a lot of these kind of right-wing personalities that are telling people to download Parler or download Gab are still posting on their main Facebook and Twitter pages, and they're still getting the most traction on their Facebook and Twitter pages. They're just also pushing people to this alternative platform with the promise that they will increasingly post there as well.
So, which makes sense because they don't want to totally switch over when there's still comparatively few users of the alternative platforms. That would make sense. The question is, you know, we've got the intensity of this election year and all potentially driving it. Would that sustain, or would just the sheer size of Facebook and Twitter make it very difficult for alternative platforms to compete with them? What's your sense?
You know, a lot of these alternative platforms are still kind of glitchy. You know, they're relatively new and they don't have an army of 10,000 engineers working out the bugs and making sure everything runs smoothly. And so just as a user, the interface, the way that it uploads things is slow and it's clunky. And you feel that when you're using it. And I imagine a lot of the people joining it will get frustrated by that. I also think that for a lot of these people, there is something to be gained by arguing with people who disagree with them. We've seen people, especially on the far right, especially those involved in conspiracy movements, who post as a way of trolling people, as a way of arguing with people on the left. And if you're existing in an echo chamber like Gab or Parler, where everyone's agreeing with you and everyone's like-minded, I imagine that's not going to be a satisfying experience for them as posting on platforms like Facebook and Twitter or YouTube, where you have, you know, access to hundreds of millions of people and debate and dialogue with all those people.
How much of this seems to be a response to Twitter deactivating the account of the New York Post over the Hunter Biden story and the alleged laptop of Hunter Biden and those emails? Was that a big driver of this?
It was an inflection point. We think about it, the cybersecurity researchers and reporters who write about disinformation tend to think about these things as inflection points. So there are moments where the platforms take action on something and people will view that as censorship or, as I mentioned before, conservative bias, and that will drive sort of a wave of people over to these other platforms that we've been talking about. So that the New York Post story was certainly one inflection point, but it was one of many. And I think that some people who I've seen joining Parler have said, oh, I've seen Parler mentioned repeatedly over the last year, and I decided it was finally time to join. So it seemed like having it repeatedly come up, repeatedly mentioned by people that they follow on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube was what drove them to finally download it.
We're talking with New York Times reporter Shira Frankel, and I welcome your calls. If you have questions about Parler, Gab, or other social media platforms that don't have the kinds of restrictions that Facebook and Twitter are using, if you're someone who uses Parler or Gab, I'd love to hear about how you use, how you post on those platforms. We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. Shira, is there any sort of censorship at all for something as extreme as threats of violence or of using racial slurs against someone? Do Parler and Gab do any of that kind of censoring?
Well, the platforms tend to call it moderation, having content moderators, and I think that's probably the best term. And there is not. I mean, this platform, Gab specifically and Parler, their tenets are really about free speech, and that, you know, that they believe that there should not be moderation, as opposed to Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, which have various levels of moderation. But for instance, you can't. You know, you cannot incite violence against somebody on Facebook. You cannot specifically call for violence against an individual. They will take that down. You cannot post pornography. You know, there are a number of things you cannot do on Facebook, and they will remove that as part of their moderation policies. And you don't see those same kinds of terms of use on Parler and Gab.
So is it clear then that Parler and Gab will allow that kind of expression on their site or not?
I don't think we know yet because these platforms are relatively new, as I said. I will say that I have seen calls to violence on Parler and Gab. I've seen people posting, you know, specific threats, specific calls to violence, and I have not seen them removed, which tells me that they are not inclined to remove them.
All right. Again, I'd love to hear from people if you use Parler or Gab or any other sort of social media platform that isn't moderated, that allows for full free speech. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll continue our conversation about alternative social media platforms and discuss whether there's a future for them reaching critical mass of users. We'll be back in 1 minute. We're at 866-893-KPECC. We're talking about social media platforms designed to be unmoderated and to allow for those all sides politically to post what they want. Particular leading conservatives have urged people to download Parler and Gab and to use those as ways of posting and connecting with other people instead of Facebook and Twitter because of the accounts that those social media platforms have deactivated or postings they've flagged or taken down. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. If you're using one of those platforms, I'd like to hear about it. Dale writes on the page, not just conservatives framing it that way as part of the problem. The new woke left calls anyone with a dissenting opinion far right. Where people of color, pro-choice women and men, and people who have identified as liberal our entire lives, and also some conservatives. People who were fed up with being censored, punished, and banned by Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, are finding platforms that will not censor them. That's Dale writing on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org, 866-893-KPECC. Ruben in Whittier, you're on AirTalk.
Yes, I actually was calling because I joined Parler this morning and just wanted to get sort of a difference of opinion. I consider myself a pretty progressive man, and I just wanted to hear some information. I've heard some people have moved to that platform, and I just wanted to get a feel for it. And I was just so amazed that just there was very little moderation, lots and lots of calls for violence, that people have been preparing for this and arming themselves. And I really was just blown away by sort of the difference in how that platform is. Doesn't seem to be moderated as much. I get the whole, you know, idea of free speech and whatnot, but I was definitely surprised with the rhetoric that I saw.
So, Ruben, did you feel like it was important with the extremes there to sort of wade through that to find alternative perspectives or not?
Well, that was actually my goal. I wanted to just hear some difference of opinions that's not the same, I guess, echo chamber, if you want to call it that. But it really just seemed very catty and a kind of an outlet for people to just really express their grievances, which I think is great. That's fine. But it really just seemed very catty and back and forth and a lot of unsubstantiated claims that just really were not moderated. There really wasn't anyone sort of stepping in and saying, hey, these things are just factually inaccurate, claiming that you're going to hurt somebody or you're arming yourselves with the intention of hurting someone. And no one really stepping in to say, hey, we should probably calm that down.
So,
was a little intense.
Ruben, setting aside calls to harm people and things like that are just, I hope we can all agree, morally wrong. Setting that aside, I mean, there are those who would say that they just prefer things being the Wild West and people being able to, you know, without fear of being censored, say what's on their mind, be able to communicate in ways that may be comfortable for others, and that they don't feel like Facebook and Twitter really allow for that. Do you accept any of that argument or think there's any validity to that argument?
I can understand that perspective, definitely, but I think given the type of society that we have and would like to live in, I think that there does need to be some accountability and some community standards. So I could understand where people may feel that platforms like Facebook may go too far with what they consider to be community standards, but I think some sort of just unfettered ability to just say whatever you want like that, I mean, I think there does need to be some. I think eventually we do have to draw the line when there are calls for things like that I'm seeing on this platform.
Ruben, I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing what you saw after joining Parler earlier today. Ruben from Whittier joining us. Also with us from the New York Times, reporter Shira Frankel, who has been writing about Parler and Gab. Shira, is that, you know, you mentioned that you've seen calls for violence and those not moderated or removed. But are you seeing vigorous intellectual debate or other aspects of conservative perspectives that are there?
Well, I mean, what Ruben was saying actually, you know, very much reflects what I've seen on Parler as well, which is that there is debate, but it's all on one side of the political spectrum. There isn't a lot of diversity of thought. So a perfect example was this morning, I was looking at a conversation that happened around allegations of voter fraud in Nevada. A person posted something that has been widely debunked by a number of news organizations, including the New York Times, and all the comments underneath it agreed. And they unanimously agreed, and there was when I looked first thing in the morning, there were a few dozen comments, and then as the day went on, there were more and more. Everyone agreed that voter fraud had happened, and there wasn't anyone stepping in to say, well, this has been debunked. It's been debunked by a number of independent fact checkers. It's been debunked by a number of, you know, news organizations. That part of the conversation wasn't there. What you had was an echo chamber.
All right. We're at 866-893-KPECC. JSK asks on the page, moderation is costly. Do these platforms have the revenue that could pay for that? Shira?
You know, I don't know what Parler and Gab's revenue is, and that's a good question. Moderation is costly. And I do think that one of the ways in which they're saving money is by not, you know, not having to pay for all that moderation. I also, you know, just from visually, from looking at these, they don't seem to have a lot of advertisements, which is how platforms like Facebook and YouTube support themselves and become so lucrative. So yes, by absolving them of the responsibility to moderate what's on their site, they are also saving quite a bit of money.
All right. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Belinda says, aren't all of these private corporations? This isn't the public square. Isn't it a central tenet of capitalism that private corporations can set their own rules of behavior within the law? Claiming censorship within a private corporation's milieu is puzzling. Yeah, Belinda, I think no one's claiming that it's governmental censorship. They're just using the term very broadly to say that it is controlling what sort of speech is allowed to happen. So you can call it moderated, you can call it controlled, whatever. But of course, you're right. It is not governmental censorship. A private company like Facebook and Twitter, any of these companies can do whatever they want when it comes to the content on their sites. Thank you so much, Shira, for being with us and talking about all the time you spend studying these different alternative forms of social media. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shira Frankel is reporter for the New York Times. She's based in San Francisco. Thank you so much for joining us. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. The guest on Fresh Air today is Catherine Standifer. Her memoir, Lightning Flowers, about life living with a defibrillator implanted in her chest. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, right after Fresh Air, it's All Things Considered with Austin Cross. He'll have the latest on what's happening locally. We're still getting election results, of course. And what's the latest from NPR on national and international news. From all of us at AirTalk, have a great day.